हरिः ॐ सहन भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 98, verses 36 to 45. The devastating effect of time. Now Devahuti asks a question. You have said that one attains the Supreme Lord by either process. You do not say one attains me, the Supreme Lord. Who is that person? In response, Lord Kapiladeva puts his forefinger on his chest and clarifies the point. This Purusha, whom the individual's soul must approach, is the eternal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Brahman and Paramatma. He is the transcendental chief personality, and his activities are all spiritual. Verse 36, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary, "He who becomes Bhagavan to the devotees becomes Brahman to the jnanis and Paramatma to the yogis. That also is a form beyond Prakriti. The meaning is, I, your son, am the Supreme Lord. Not only that, but Prakriti, the jiva, Purusha, fate, and time are my form. I am Pradhan and its instigator, the jiva. I am the fate or karma of the jiva, the various reactions arising by pious or sinful actions. I am time, my form which has astonishing influence, which is the cause of objects transforming. It has already been said. The gunas are agitated from a state of equilibrium by time. They are transformed into another state by swabhava. The Mahatattva appears by karma of the jivas. All this is under the direction of the Lord." Srimad Bhagavatam 2.5.22. Kapila begins to explain about the qualities of time previously explained. Since Devahuti asked, "The jivas who identify with Mahatattva and other elements, whose identities have a creation, middle, and end, who are covered with ignorance, bhinadrisham, develop fear of time." Right? So if there's any variety of temporary identity, right, then you're controlled by time. Even if that temporary identity is that I am just the soul, right, but not that I am servant of God, right? Because if I identify and I'm soul, that's part of. But then there must be how you place yourself, where you'll be situated, right? So that they don't have. So because they're just the soul, where is that soul's situation? So they pick Brahman, which is a temporary situation for the soul. Right? Because the material energy is also Brahman, and that's a temporary situation. So the Brahmajyoti is Brahman, that's also a temporary situation. The jiva themselves is Brahman. Right? So it's only when they become situated in the internal potency Brahman, that's when their situation will be eternal. Right, so that means they're still under the influence of time. Does that make sense? So they may be identifying with the Mahatattva by some particular elements or just on the platform of Vasudev Sattva, right, that they just see themselves as the soul. Right? But in any case, it's all controlled by time. Right? Because the Mahatattva manifests because there's time. So that means you have to go beyond time. Right? So people may go beyond the control of the elements, But they don't get beyond time unless they take up devotional service. Right? So the impersonalists never get technically out of the Mahatattva because they're still controlled by time. Yes?
Two things. If one is agitated from the state of equilibrium by time.
Yes.
But in Mahatattva, they all situated there. Why by time?
Means?
Because everything is agitated by the false ego.
No, it's time that makes things transformation. As it mentions there, transformation happens because of time. Right? So, but the point is the element that you're adding is false ego. Because there's no false ego in the pradhan. Right? It means you have the element false ego, but there's no as such identity. You know what I'm saying? So, that false ego is the ignorance that covers the living entities, and then that allows them to become controlled by the Mahatattva, right? Because otherwise, then they're not going to be controlled. Because if there's no false ego, then why would they be involved, right? Means if you don't have a false ego, then you would not identify with the material energy, right? Just like if the great souls, they may come from the spiritual world into the material world, but there's no false ego, so they don't identify. But just because they don't identify doesn't mean that they can't function with it. Right? Sometimes I've heard sometimes an argument that, well, Prabhupada's from the spiritual world, what, you know, he doesn't really know the material scene. You know? But that doesn't make sense, you know? That's like saying, oh, he's from one of those, you know, hotel kitchens and all that, you know, with those fancy five-star kind of hotel scenes. So he won't understand a common, you know, house kitchen. Right? Does that make sense? So that means in the restaurant kitchen, it's every utensil and every pot, pan, spoon, whatever is possible to have. That you could actually do something that would have an effect in cooking would be there. And then it's supposed to be when you come into the house kitchen, because they just have random kind of things according to the house, what they're interested in. They wouldn't know what it is. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. If you know what a copper frying pan is, you can't possibly understand an aluminum one. Right? Because basically you couldn't understand, because why would anybody have one, right? You know, stuff. So the whole point is you don't have to identify with something to use it. Most of our possessions, we identify with them, so we use them. But we could also use someone else's possessions that we don't identify with quite easily. Right? You know, we don't identify with our friend's money. We can spend it quite happily, right? His car, you know, anything, you know, borrow his lawnmower, right? It all works. So does that make sense? So that's the whole thing: is that they're in the material world, but they're not under the control of time or false ego. So therefore, they're not under the modes of nature. Because if false ego and time are there, then the modes of nature have an effect. Otherwise, they're in equilibrium, so there is no effect. Right? But as soon as then they expand, this equilibrium is taken out of balance by the time factor. There's transformation, so now there's effect. So that's the thing, is the impersonalists are getting... You know, all these philosophies, all the six systems, other than Vaishnava, Vedanta, then what they're doing is... reinstating the balance in the modes of nature, right, in pradhan. Yes. So then it goes back into that state where it doesn't have any effect anymore. Right? But what they're forgetting is false ego is still there and time is still there. So they're still under the control of time, that they're only going to be in that state for a certain amount of time. Right? And they're under false ego because they still think they're the controller and enjoyer. Right? So that original, I'm the controller and enjoyer, would be your first false ego. Then from there, then the false ego, then according to the modes, then they get the Vaikarika, Tejasa, and Tamasa. Right? So then you get the transformations of the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego. Is that... Yeah? So that's the importance here. As you can see, you can get rid of these, but until you get rid of the false identity that I am the controller and enjoyer, one will always be afraid of time. Right? So, yeah, who's... means jivas who identify with mahatattva and other elements, whose identities have a creation, middle and end, who are covered with ignorance, pina, drisham, develop fear of time. The time factor, who causes the transformation of the various material manifestations, is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? Because Krishna said, he's every, well, whatever you see, it's him. So he is the jivas, he is the time factor, he is the modes, he is the material energy, he is all these different things, because it's all his energy. It's not him as Purusha, but it's Purusha means he has property. So these are all his property, so it's him. Right? Does that make sense?
Right.
Yes.
What's svabhava? They are transformed into another state by svabhava. What's the second sentence?
By their nature. So in other words, each of the 24 elements has a nature, so then they transform into all those aspects and then further transformation into manifestations of that. I mean, it's just like if you have the transformation of through time that you have, let's say, hearing, right? So to have hearing, then there must also be, then you have to have, ether, and you have to have the ear. Right? And then there's going to be the sounds themselves. What are the variety of sounds that there are? And then you have the variety of ears that can hear them. Right? So it'll just keep continuing till whatever is the full variety in the 8,400,000 and whatever you find in the 14 worlds. Right? So that will then that's the end of the... Means it's not that Krishna couldn't take it further, but it just gets so subtle that no one's going to tell the difference. Just like in sound. You can tell the difference in a quarter note, right? But more than a quarter note, you can't appreciate. Does that make sense? Because like we say something's pitchy, it means it's off by a quarter note. Because if it's off by half a note, it's a different note, right? But it's off by a quarter note. So that's all the more we can hear. So the Shrutis, the Vedic Shrutis, there's 22. There's that quarter notes. Does that make sense? So that's what's used. Because more than that, it's just like the time, the nimisha, 1/11 of a second. Shorter than that, you can't appreciate. Right? Does that make sense? Just like in if you're doing the films, then they run at 24 frames a second. So you can't, you think it's just one continuous thing. If we took it to half, then you would see that it's a bunch of pictures. Right? If there were 11 frames a second, you'd be able to see that it's all these frames. Does that make sense? You double that, you can't tell anymore. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening. Is that so? Therefore, it's just practical of what you yourself are going to be able to appreciate. So 8,400,000 is enough. Right? All the varieties are there. Right? You have the heron, the gray one. You have the white one. You have the red one. You have the and then that's enough. You don't need any more. Yes.
So also in the first part you were reading, it is said that Prakriti, Jiva, Fate and Time are the form of the Lord.
Yes, they're all the form.
So I don't understand.
Means they're all his energies.
Yes. Okay.
Because the Lord and his energies are non-different, but they're different. So it is the form of the Lord, because how it functions is by the Lord. Because all these where was it? Okay. But Prakriti, okay, means the material energy. How does it function? Is it independent?
No.
Is it according to the jiva?
No.
So what's your what's left?
Okay,
right? You know? Because it functions according to his. So it is him. Just like, let's say, you go into some person's house. Just by looking at the house, you can tell the person.
Yes.
Right? Even though the house is not the person, but it's the energy of the person.
Yes.
Therefore, you can see the nature of the person.
Yes.
Right? So Prakriti, the jiva, because the jiva has a nature. How they will function and everything is still going to be within the rules. There's no jiva can be independent of their nature. Right? Like that. Fate means it's then defined. You do this, you get that. So that's defined by the Lord. We don't, if it was up to us, there would be so much difference in fate. We do such small work, or even just the effort of thinking about it. Right? Like I just heard, I think it was, yeah, day before yesterday, about one delinquent kid is telling another delinquent kid, said, last night I had a dream that I was in school. Will that count as attendance? Will I get the benefit of having been there? Right, you know, so, you know, because their point is, you know, you don't go to school, right? Okay. Yeah. So, fate then, because otherwise I do practically nothing and I get unlimited everything else. And people I don't like, they could work for the whole lifetime and not even get anything. You know? I mean, the only effect from their work would be my pleasure and my laughing at them. Like, you understand, that would be... Right? So, like that. So fate is established by the Lord. That's why it works exactly the way it does. Right? And time. Right, so the transformation of everything, that everything has the potency to move, that's time. Any movement is time, right? You're fanning your fan, that's time. So it's just time is having that effect. Otherwise, why? We'll just say, no, but I'm moving my hand. But how can it happen? How can it work? Right? It's because of the influence of time. So any transformation is there. It's a transformation. The fan's in one place, it transforms, it's in another place. Your hand's in one way, it transforms in another. Your muscles are transforming. To do that, then the energy is transforming from whatever it is into, you know, glucose into whatever that funny acid is that makes your arm hurt. You know, so like that. And then, you know, that has to be, the water has to transform, then the water becomes transformed because it takes on that. Then it, does that make sense? So everything is transforming at every moment. Right? That's what's going on. We just don't think about that because we just think about what I make transform. Right? Like I made this happen. So, does that make sense?
The marriage time is transformation of material element and also spiritual element.
Yeah, but the time factor there, it does. It's not that it functions in a specifically linear way. You know, at a specific progression. So time only is to create a flavor. It's not that you're not known. There's no control of time. Therefore, Krishna's dancing with the gopis. In our one night, our 12 hours, they actually dance for one night of Brahma. Right. So that's what time doesn't have. It's not in control. It just it gives the flavor. Right? Because if there's no sense of present, future, or past, then how do you deal? But there has to be a sense. Here we're controlled by it. There they're not. It adds to the flavor. So therefore, Krishna, like, we'll always ask, well, Krishna, and you know, where Krishna lives is so far from Raman Reti, but they would go out to Raman Reti, so how do they get out there and back? It means if we were to walk from Nandagaon to Raman Reti and back, that would probably take our whole day. You know, but they go out, play around, they're there by the time all their pastimes start. You know what I'm saying? So it's already happening. So how does that go? Because time works differently. There's no control of time. You know, Krishna, there's one pastime where he goes out from Dwarka with his army. I forget what he was going for. And within a very short time, they're already...
Yes.
I think maybe it was for Rukmini.
Rukmini, yes.
Yeah, so yeah. Dwarka and where Rukmini is are exact opposite sides of the country.
Yes.
Because Dwarka is in the middle, a little bit down, and Assam is where we are, up and over. Right? You know, so it's that's as far. But very, very quickly he becomes there because she just sent the messenger, and then the next thing he's there. So the time factor is not controlling, right? You know, we'll get into mechanical. Well, you know, the dom, the lotus, it opens and closes because we have to have time and space. You know, okay, if it does like that, then if it closes, then they're next to each other, then they walk off that and on the other, then they're there. So that makes sense to me because it's time. Okay, the time was quick, and then that makes it quick. And space, they got from this space to that space by touching the two. But that's the problem, is we can say, no, but that explains it. It does, but at the same time it doesn't. Because the problem is it's not functioning according to time and space as we require. So we're still looking at it from a mundane perspective. So by saying that, then it makes our, how you say, our materialistic, scientific perspective of time and space satisfied. Because we identify with the material energy. But it doesn't actually answer the question. Because in reality, there is no time and space in the spiritual world. There's only the concept of it. So that's why it's not something we can... So that's why it's about, if we're going to analyze like that, then that's why these first cantos are there. You want to analyze? Here's analyzation. Go for it. So if you can understand these things, then you get to the point, well, those will be understood. Because then you can see what is material, how it functions. Because people are analyzing the material, can't understand it, therefore they can't understand the spiritual. You analyze the material, you can understand it. Then the whole point is what are you actually understanding? It's Krishna's energy. It functions according to his will. Then you can understand the spiritual. Because it's superior. But it's under Krishna's will, not under science. Right? He is science. Right, the reason there is science because it's him. Right, it's so consistent because it's him. So, yeah. Okay, is that what? Does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. That's the point of Achintya Veda Veda. It's Krishna, but it's different.
Yes.
So that's why you can see Krishna in everything. Because you start from the Prakriti aspect and get to the Purusha aspect. The difficulty is, in the material consciousness, we start from the Prakriti and we stay at the Prakriti. Because we see ourselves as the Purusha. So why would we want another Purusha in the way? You know? Like, you know, we see something, oh, wow, hey, that's great. I'm going to get, and then somebody else grabs it. That would not be good. Right? So we don't want any competition. Therefore, there's us as the Prakriti. If this is the same God.
Yes. This is the son of the Lord.
Yes. It's also back there. Oh, so we left the light on. So they are buzzing around at night. Okay, these guys must be really tired. Okay. The time factor who causes the transformation of the various material manifestations is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who does not know that time is the same Supreme Personality is afraid of the time factor. Because if it's Krishna, what's to be afraid of?
Yes.
Right? Because the transformation is there. He's controlling the transformation. So therefore, the relationship with Krishna remains. What we're afraid of is the body's changing, and then we get afraid, or the situation changes. But if it's Krishna, then it's still going to be... If I'm okay now, I'm going to be okay later. Why? Because it's Krishna. It's not about what manifestation it's making. Right? It's the connection to Krishna that makes it special. Does that make sense? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Jnanis?
Jnanis.
Jnanis, after merging into Brahma Jyoti,
right.
they are above the time then?
No, because they'll come back to the material world, so how will they be above time?
But they don't come like on a regular basis like ordinary jivas.
and they enter into Mahavishnu.
But this still doesn't mean it's not time. It's like, how long, let's say, you're in a difficult situation, and I take you out of that difficult situation completely. Right? How long do you enjoy thinking about how you're not in that situation?
As long as something else comes up.
The whole, no. So, no, but if there was nothing else coming up, you would go looking for it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just like this. Let us say you're outside, it's extremely hot. I mean, really hot. Right? And so then we take you into this very nice, pleasantly cool room that's, you know, the walls are white, the furniture's white, the rug's white, everything's white. You know, and the lights are very bright.
Okay?
And you'll sit there. So now there'll be a few minutes while you cool down that you'll appreciate the coolness. Then once you cool down, now what? There's a good chance you get up and walk back outside because at least there's some variety.
That's the influence of time.
Yeah, otherwise why not? Because the whole point is what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Okay, so basically like this, 10 minutes is, right, means what, 600 seconds, right?
Yeah.
So 3/4 of that is what, 450, right? So that means we would add a quarter onto that, so 150. So 750 seconds, according to Mahavishnu, and you'll be back. Okay? Now, 750, that may be 750 lifetimes of Brahma, but it's only 10 minutes on that time frame. Do you understand? So from here, oh, unlimited, but over there, it's not unlimited. Does that make sense?
And then the other point is, where are they actually situated in this Brahma Jyoti?
Well, it means you need you want to take your GPS with you. what do you mean by where? What are your options that you're worried about?
My option is,
are you going to end up like in a car wash or someplace?
Are they also cleaning up?
You know, and then what kind of cars are going through the car wash? If they're nice cars, and it's okay. If it's just regular, ordinary, beat up, you know, 10-year-old, you know, how you say, Fords, then you got a problem. But if they're brand new Lamborghinis, it's okay. Or, you know, are you worried about the soap? Is it biodegradable or not? Or, you know.
I was thinking if they are filling a space in Vaikuntha.
They're filling up space, and there's no space for you. You just wanted to do that pastime, but there's this one soul from the Brahman just cramping your style. You just can't quite, you know, do what you want to do. You know, you go to reach for that fruit on the tree, and this jiva and Brahman is in the way. Hey, I'm Brahmaning here, you know. Whoa. How does one jiva fill up space in eternity?
Well, because there is Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah, but what does it matter? It's just like this. You're swimming in the ocean. If you're in the water, does it really matter where you are? Do you really think about, I'm on this particular beach and it's so... You're just in the water. You could be there, you could be anywhere on the planet as long as it's ocean. You know, if it's salty, then, you know, you're good.
So they can be...
You know? Yeah. But the point is they're still under the influence of time.
Yeah.
Because the material consciousness is a set of consciousness.
Yeah.
But you're looking at Brahman, so the Mahatattva is 1/4 of the whole cosmos. So if you're in Brahman in the Mahatattva, I don't think you'd be worried. Because you're not in the material universe. You're not within the material elements. You're just within the Mahatattva that's there. Right? So it's Vasudeva Sattva. It's pure goodness. So you can sit and float around there, no problem. Other souls come through also. You know, you can say howdy, you know, before they go into the material universes. And then they come back and, oh, you again, you know, like that. On the, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is it doesn't matter.
Especially for them, it doesn't matter.
No, you're merged in there, it doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, let's say you're asleep in your bed. If we came along and picked up your bed and took you out, you know, on in the middle of the quad, then you wouldn't know. When you'd wake up, then you would notice, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah.
Krishna is in control. And everything is going to be as Krishna planned, right? Time and everything is... I have a difficulty when people asking to pray for them. Of course, I understand maybe the prayer, concept of a prayer is most of the time is to ask something, not to glorify it, right? And when people asking like, oh, pray for my mother or something like this, and it's specifically for something, for a help, most of the time, I have this knowledge that everything will be any way arranged as Krishna plans, and it's going to be good for me. But what to pray for? Like, I feel like, why to pray? Everything will be arranged anyway.
So then, what's your part of it?
So I don't feel like
it's just like you're sitting at home. You make no arrangements for, let's say, a friend's party. You know, the party comes, you still make no arrangements, you don't go anywhere, you just sit there in your house. So, did you get the benefit of this party? No. It's the people who make some endeavor, they get the benefit. So the party is going to happen whether you go or not. But the point is, yes, it's all going to happen, do you want to take part or not? It's just like, you know, the person's health, you want to take part in trying to help.
But help and actually help physically and...
But what does help physically mean? As you said, it's going to happen according to the Lord. So if some people want it to go nicely, then it may go better for them. You know, it's going to happen whatever is going to happen, but that's going to have an influence. So, is God a machine or is God a person? Okay. So, prayers don't have effects on people. Okay. Your toaster doesn't seem to have much. You know, you're praying that, you know, it'll toast your bread, but the people, it has an effect.
But then you pray, still, it's about what you want.
Yeah, but still, then it's about what you want. The material world's all about what you want. Yeah, so then you have to see what activities are going to be pleasing to him. So then?
So praying for other people is good.
I mean, what's your purpose in praying for them?
To help.
To help what? Material things are material, but you can also pray for spiritual things.
Yes, unless like only Krishna consciousness will help to people, right? So to pray.
It's just like this: if you have people that care about you, then you generally do better than people who don't.
Yeah.
who people who don't have anyone caring about them. Right? They've done studies, let's say, in old age homes. Those who have family that regularly come and interact or call or send letters, then they generally last better. The people who have nobody, they don't last very long. Right? So now you can say, well, it's the karma that they have such persons. But the point is you're making an endeavor. You're working with the time factor that you want to get things done. So accordingly, you get results. So the whole point is that your endeavor, then you make it Krishna conscious, then it has effects, because Krishna still is time. You know what I'm saying? So it gets you out of the material world. Right? The bhakti is what gets you into the spiritual world. Right? So naishkarmya, these things, that would get you out of the material world. Right? So the time factor is what puts you into the material world, the time factor is what will take you out. But to be actually out, you have to have bhakti, because you have to get into the spiritual world. Otherwise, if you only get out of the material manifestation, you'll still be within the purview of the material control. You'll still be under time. Because it's not also location. It means you have a location, but you don't have to be in that location to be mundane. You know what I'm saying? But as we see, all mundane stuff happens there. So therefore, you can say is that you would expect they would be merged into the Vasudeva Sattva there. Right? Not somewhere else. Okay? Does that work?
So, to pray for another people, we should do, and better if we ask, like, for Krishna consciousness.
The Krishna consciousness, or whatever it is you're thinking about in connection with Krishna consciousness.
Krishna has three energies, and time is also his energy. Which part of the three time is?
No, he has unlimited energies.
We usually deal with
three. He's internal, external, and that. It is part of the, it's eternal, so it has to be part of the spiritual.
Yes. And because we say that time also exists in the spiritual world, but it's not linear.
Yeah.
And here always linear?
Here it's exactly always working on the...
Yes.
Well, I mean, it means you do have the effect that when you're having fun, time goes quickly, and when you're not having fun, it seems to go really slow.
That's perception, only.
Yeah, that's perception. But in the spiritual world, it actually functions like that. Like, what is it? Between drops on the Chinese water torture, it seems like forever. Right? Yes.
Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago. This is what I read.
You read. You read it. You didn't hear it.
I heard also.
You also heard. Yeah.
And I also read and heard that when Lord Chaitanya was performing Sankirtan, it was like equivalent to one night of Brahma here in Mayapur.
Yeah. So there's a problem. It means if the Rasa dance could go on for one night and you didn't have a problem with that, what's the problem if they're doing Harinam for all night? Because you have it, when you go to the Kirtan Mela, you notice the time, but when it's other kinds of activities, then the time goes quickly, or...
How are these two parallel connected marriages? Lord Chaitanya performing Sankirtan for equivalent to one night of Brahma, and then he just appears 500 years ago, stays...
But no, but I'm saying we already explained that before in connection with the gopis.
I actually didn't get it.
Okay, so if you didn't get it then, okay. I was thinking, how did you get it then, and now you don't get it. Okay. And the point is because they're working under spiritual time. Right? So it's not controlled by time. While here, then we are controlled by time, but it's the same time factor. Time is eternal, right? Does that make sense?
So if you are in the spiritual body and you are performing activities that is equivalent to one night of Brahma, and I am in the material body here, in a material consciousness, and for me it's just another day in my life like that?
Yeah, like that. You're getting ripped off by being here. Yeah. So that's where you make the best of a bad bargain and connect yourself to Krishna.
Yes.
Right? Because here, we talk about it as great, but compared to the spiritual world, there's no comparison at all. Right? That's time. Space. There is no space in the spiritual world either. So it's like here, you're standing on the ground and you have the tree, and you want something off the tree. Then there's a distance between your hand and what's on the tree. But in the spiritual world, there's not. But it doesn't mean everybody's got really long arms. You know what I'm saying? Like I can see, you know, something over there. I can see that rock. It's in my hand. I can just grab it. But when I grab here, there's a distance. There's no space. I can take it. So therefore, the material world is very inconvenient compared to the spiritual world. But that convenience, there, everybody just engages in Krishna service. So they're not. It's not about the convenience. It's about serving Krishna. Right? So we just have to understand time and space, there isn't there. There's the concept of it, but there's none. You're not limited by it. Here you are. That makes sense? So the academic brain can't understand this. Because the Lord, He reveals these things. That's why it's here. We hear what the Lord says through the acharyas. Then we can understand. Otherwise, if we try to use our material intelligence, we'll never understand this. Yeah, the material intelligence, you can't even understand, you know, the invocation of Bhagavatam, let alone the rest of it. Right. Is that okay? Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the enjoyer of all sacrifices, is the time factor and the master of all masters. Right? Because there's so many masters who are controlling everything in the universe. But Krishna is the master of them. Right? And even in the spiritual world, here is Lord Vishnu, so it just means here. Right? He enters everyone's heart. He is the support of everyone, and he causes every being to be annihilated by another. No one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So one living entity is, you know, everything's happening between living entities.
Yes.
So whatever benefit or loss you get, it comes from another living entity.
Yes.
Right? Through that medium. That makes sense. Right? You know, it's how you say we got hit by a truck. But technically, you got hit by the jiva driving the truck. Right? Okay. No one is dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone his enemy or friend. He gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him and destroys those who have. Right? Because time factor destroys everyone. Right? So whatever you take up, you may get inspired momentarily, then that will be lost. Mm-hmm. But on the spiritual platform, then that inspiration, that's eternal. Right.
So but this is the meaning of a realization.
Yes.
It means no forgetting.
Yeah, because it becomes part of your value, it becomes part of your life. Yeah. But he gives it, no. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the wind blows. Out of fear of him, the sun shines. Out of fear of him, the rain pours forth showers. And out of fear of him, the host of heavenly bodies shed their luster. Because otherwise, if it wasn't, then, you know, who would do anything? You know what I'm saying? You have to remember is that all these different personalities who control the universe, they're still jivas like us. And so, just like we're controlled by the mode of ignorance, that we just want to control and enjoy, they would want to do the same thing. Right? So that they do their duties every day, that's because of fear of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the tendency would just be they'd sit back on their couch and enjoy all day. Yes?
So natural question, why would they fear and we don't?
Fear what?
Those entities that out of fear of the Lord, they do all their duties and we don't.
That, because we're in this group down here at the bottom. It says here, he is the support of everyone, and he is. He gives inspiration to those who have not forgotten him, like the demigods, because they know otherwise they're going to get in trouble, and destroys those who have. So we're in the those who have part. Okay. Okay. There was all questions that throw a shadow of doubt on our social position, then we will kind of finesse those ones. Okay. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the trees, creepers, herbs, and seasonal plants and flowers blossom and fructify, each in its own season. Otherwise, why would they function in the seasons? Just whenever they felt like or didn't feel like. No, but everything happens exactly. Right? Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the rivers flow and the ocean never overflows. Right? Because, I mean, you're so big and you have to stop exactly at that little line there. You know, you're this big monster and this little 3-year-old can stand there just on the other side and mock at you that you can't catch me and all this kind of jazz. Right? So, you know, if that was us, then, you know, the kid would get a slap or something. But, you know, here it doesn't. You know, it's just like this one little wave, you know. It's just, no, but it doesn't happen because that's the way it's designed. It won't happen. Right? Out of fear of him only does fire burn and does the earth with its mountains not sink in the water of the universe. Subject to control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sky allows outer space to accommodate all the various planets, which hold innumerable living entities. Right? These are all things science never even thinks about. They just say, oh, it's here because of this and that, but why is it even allowed in the first place? Right? Why does space accommodate everything? Can't space say, enough already, you know? No?
But no. Western science is supposed to answer the question how, and religion is supposed to question why.
Why? Yeah. Yes. But the point is why is before how. Like, why should I cook dinner? And then it's how I'll cook dinner.
Yes. It's just the order.
Right? Yeah. So why is always, I'm thinking it's how, but the actual thing is why, right? I did all my chores, everything's nice, then that's why dinner is being cooked and how it is. I've been a rat bag, then the cook thinks why I should cook, and then I'm wondering how is dinner going to happen.
But this is a responsibility of religion. Why?
It is responsibility of religion, but then you have to acknowledge it because it explains why how happens.
Yes.
Right? Because you say, okay, they cooked like this. They put it in the pan, they pushed it around, they put this in, they put in that in, and that's why you ended up with this preparation. But why is it only those things? Why not that extra other spices and stuff like that? That's the why. You know, it's an ordinary day, then it's simple. You've been a rat bag, it's even more simple. You know? Does that make sense? So like that, it works. Like that. If things are good or one's feeling good or it's a theft, then there's more. So the why explains the how. How is just the mechanics of it, which is the actual simpler. We're enamored by the mechanics because for us it's through the mechanics the time that we get our enjoyment. Right? Because even though you say it's all about, okay, it's all about the how. Okay, let's just take that. Let's just take that point. Science is all about the how. So why is science all about the how? Why is it scientists only care about the how? Why?
Because they have no interest about the why.
Yes, so the whole point is, you know, so that's the whole thing with why is themselves. So they're very much interested in why. If this is why is that a scientist works in a particular area? Because that's where his interest is. So it's not mechanical, it's purely subjective. Right? But they try to make it look like it's just this, and because it's mechanical, that means they don't have to worry about anybody. Right? It's just like this. The guy gets the Nobel Prize this year in some scientific thing. Okay? Who gets the prize? The guy. Technically, if you look at it, how many people have assisted him, and without them, he couldn't have gotten that. There may be tens, hundreds, thousands. But because it's mechanical, he gets the thing. If it was a matter of why, then he would have to actually be happy with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Then you probably get less scientists killed by their lab assistants. Yeah, so the whole.
But sometimes they say, I have this kind of thing, but they say that we do our part.
You do your part, but part in what? No, but why do you do your part? Why do you even have a part? That's the whole thing, is you can't get by without why. It's like saying, I'll take the flesh without the blood. There's no question it's going to happen. You know. So the whole point is you can ask why on anything.
Yes. Yes.
Right? When I was a kid, then the scientific mind meant why. And now it just means how. You know, give it another 50 years and then what is it going to mean?
When.
When. When. When. Is that so? Yeah. So the whole point is it's analyzing the six nouns with the verb. That's what you're doing, because that's what language describes. So science can't be out of that. It just is mechanically what you can write down, what you can document, what you can look at from the point of numbers. But that those numbers are happening in a place because there's a cause. Right? Why is that scientist looking for a cure to heart disease? There's a good chance if you check, their mother died of it. Or grandmother, or somebody important, right? Their daughter, or like that. So that's why they dedicate themselves there. You understand? So that's the why. You know, so they can't, there's a cause. Right? So all these things are there. You know, why them? Why not someone else? Right? The other guy's working so hard, why not I take my scientific things and put that in with theirs? And if it's really about science, they would cooperate together. But there are certain scientific things where two independent studies came up with the same conclusion at the same time. There's a fight over who invented it or who discovered it. Right? So it's not actually about science. It's not purely objective. It's subjective. But, you know, the point is the academia tries to make it look as if it's not. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say you have the more sophisticated social person, and then you have some very, you know, common, not very cultured person. Right? So in a social environment, something happens they don't like. The common person, everybody knows they don't like it. The sophisticated person will pretend as if he, or make as if it, they're not bothered. Right? So that's the whole thing. That's all the academic is that they just make it look as if they're not subjective, though they totally are. And that subjectiveness is why. So that's the whole point. So as if it's there, then that naturally just continues. That there's a supreme. Why stop at us? Because I need to know. You know, like that one guy who was asked, why did he put a rocket engine on his motorcycle? And his answer was, because it could be done. Right? Everybody else is, you know, thinking, why would you do that? And he's just saying, no, because it can be done. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing, but it's about them. It's about themselves. So there's always a why. You just have to take it to the point where now it answers all the questions. But you only have to go as far as it answers your questions. You don't have to go more. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, I want to know, okay, how much salt should I put? So I get up to that point and stop. I don't have to know how salt breaks down and it mixes with the other elements and then it causes this and that. No, I don't need that to cook. Right? I only need up to the point of what it functions there. So once you get to where God is there, then it answers all the questions. That's as far as you have to go. You know what I'm saying? Because beyond that, we don't have the capacity. Like that. So the mundane has its limit, and so we introduce the transcendental because that answers the mundane. But we cannot understand the transcendental with the mundane intelligence. But we can appreciate its presence and therefore its answering of all questions. Right. Because this transcendental doesn't function under the material. So,
by logic, we are supposed to understand that there is a transcendental state.
Yes.
By logic.
By logic, we can understand it's there, but we can't understand its nature.
Yes.
Like that. In other words, if you use the logical process in the way that's recommended, you can appreciate that. Just like you see in Gotama and all them, they'll use logic so they understand there's a transcendental position, but they don't go into trying to analyze it. And you just know the effect, right? That they're the cause, and then this is the effect. Right? Does that make sense? The total universal body expands with its seven coverings under his supreme control. Out of fear of the supreme personality, like so, it means the whole universal form is manifesting because of his control. Out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the directing demigods in charge of the modes of material nature carry out the functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Everything animate and inanimate within this material world is under their control. Right? Those who control the modes of nature. So modes control everything. So you get above the modes, you're not control. You're not within the material anymore. Right? The eternal time factor has no beginning and no end. It is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maker of the criminal world. Interesting. Yeah. It brings about the end of the phenomenal world. It carries on the work of creation by bringing one individual into existence from another. And likewise, it dissolves the universe by destroying even the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. Right, so what causes death in this material world, it even destroys him. Right? So it causes the creation, the maintenance, and the destruction. And so time is before that. 37 to 45. Srila Prabhupada summarizes the meaning of this section in his purport to verse 45. No one can live within this material world eternally. The phenomenal world is created, maintained, and destroyed by the signal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee does not desire anything in this material world. A devotee desires only to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This servitude exists eternally. The Lord exists eternally. His servitor exists eternally. And the service exists eternally. Right? So therefore, all aspects of the Lord, the servant, the service itself, what is used in the service, all that lasts eternally. So that's the whole point. So on the spiritual platform, then that's in his perfection. Here, by the time factor, it appears that there is a difference in all these things. But factually, there's not. Any benefit you've done is eternal. That's why it's not controlled by time. Bhakti's not controlled by time. Right? But then the difficulty is like we had a question yesterday, why is it that things within the material world, means we're devotees, but why is it like Prahlad Maharaj doesn't get injured by the elephants or anything like that, but why is it we do? Right? You know, like that. So then the problem comes up is, but we want the things that are controlled by time to not be controlled by time. Right? But the point is that the non-control of time means the soul, the Lord, that devotional sentiment between them, right? That service rendered, these are eternal. Right? That mood of servitude, the actual service itself, these are eternal. Does that make sense? That's what we're trying to get. That's what we're trying to deal with. Right? That, therefore, is not controlled by time. But what the material elements that we're using it, as instruments here, they're temporary. In the spiritual world, they're eternal. Right? Means it's not stuff. It doesn't mean there's not transformation. So that's happening also by transcendental time. But it's happening when it should happen, not because of the laws. Right? So the transformation happens when Krishna wants it to happen. Yes.
So Maharaj, do we have the choice to be controlled by time or surrender to the Lord?
Yes. Yes. That's the choice. Is surrender to the Lord or be controlled by time? And can be controlled by time means surrendering to the modes of nature.
Yes.
Like that. But if we surrender to Krishna, then we're beyond the modes. It doesn't mean that what we're not working with, we're still working in an environment that is controlled by the modes. But it doesn't mean that the effect it has upon the soul and their mood of service and the service itself is affected. Right? The service is engaging in the Lord's service. That can't be changed. Right? Now, the nature of the instruments that we're using, those can change. Like a car that we're using nicely in Krishna's service now, tomorrow may fall apart. Right? Yeah. But our sense of service, us as a servant, the Lord as the one that service is rendered towards, and our desire for service doesn't change. So now we go and, you know, catch a ride with a friend or get on the bus or we do something. Right? You know, dig our, you know, flying carpet out of the closet and dust it off. Right? You know? So, yeah, it's just people at work, you know, ask too many questions when you walk in with a, you know, the rug rolled up under your arm. You know, and they come and want to borrow it. Or, you know, so it's, therefore it's easier to take your car. Yes?
If devotional service, if some devotional service, then if that's permanent, then how is it that if we're performing the activity but we're not fully conscious of Krishna, then it just is mundane pious?
Well, who are you talking about?
Anybody.
Anybody, just absolute anybody.
So for devotees, it's not.
No, it's service. Agyata Sukriti, unknown pious, is for a person that doesn't know it's devotional service. Just like a fruitive worker happens to be walking through the park where a festival, a Ratha Yatra is happening, they're distributing prasad. They take some prasad. They don't know it's prasad. So for them, that's unknown pious activity. But it's not karma sukriti or jnana sukriti. It's bhakti sukriti. It's unknown pious activity, but it's bhakti sukriti. It's piety. Does that make sense? So that's why it says these cowherd boys, after, you know, so many lifetimes of piety, then are able to... Like that means there's so much agyata sukriti and bhakti piety and then devotional service, the piety from that, then they're able to situate themselves there.
So if we're a devotee and we're sitting in the kirtan in the temple, then but we're not.
And you're SMSing somebody.
Yeah.
So you're still, there's some effect from being there in the kirtan.
Just not full effect.
Yeah, you know, it's just like if you were there or if you were at, you know, some... How you say, you know, heavy metals concert, you know, there's an effect.
So it still goes under the category of eternal devotional rather.
Yeah, than just... but it'll be very minimal.
Yeah.
You know, and then when somebody adjusts the tune a little bit, the part you like, then you notice and all that, and you take notice for a little bit, and then your phone beeps again, and back you are. Right? Because that's the difference. You're doing that, and they play a chord you like, then you look up, and you see all these weird guys in weird costumes. You know, so then the consciousness becomes polluted. Parishishtam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 11. Analysis of the process, Abhideya, Vichar, which is within the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-11-12. Kapila to Devahuti. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Right? So it means immediately, right? Means it just is simultaneous. Well, otherwise we hear, we're not, you know, this, but maybe, you know, it's good if I hear, so maybe I should sit down and, you know, like that. So that will be, it's not unadulterated. Right? So there's some adulteration, but then we take part. Or the adulteration is more, and well, tomorrow.
Right? But adulterated would be synonymous to unalloyed?
I think here it means pure. It means it would be unalloyed would be this also. But the pure then has that nature. One is just... No, it can happen at the Madhyam platform. It just means that there's no... devotional opportunity comes up, you take it.
I'm just thinking of those opportunities.
Yeah. And then the problem is not so much the opportunity missed, it's probably what you missed it for.
Yes.
Practical what? Yeah, we'll move, this is the point where we move on, right? Yeah. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down to the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. So by saying that such devotional ecstasy, so that would give an idea that they're on the liberated platform. So what you said there, Baba. But the starting of that can happen in the Madhyama platform. But it's manifestation where that spontaneity generates ecstasy, that will be on the platform of Baba. Right? But otherwise, before, it doesn't generate ecstasy, or the amount that's there, the ecstasy, it's not enough that you call it ecstasy. Yeah, so it's very small. It's compared to the material, it's great, but compared to what it will start to manifest like as more advanced stages, it's less. Yeah. Okay, verses 11 and 12. Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns. Yeah, so that means also that no material condition can interrupt it. So what doesn't get interrupted? This servitude exists eternally. The Lord exists, the servitor exists, and the service. Means that from there it can start, yes. But the point is what means the field changes, but your attitude of service to the Lord doesn't change. The environment's favorable or unfavorable to performing a particular service, you're still favorable to serving the Lord. Right? The Lord still exists whether whether your world's falling apart or not. Right? The servitor, the soul, still exists whether everything's going great or not. Right? And the service exists. So I would have going to do it this way, and then that transforms, so then I use... either that transformation or some other aspect. in some reasons. You know, I'm there at the sink, I have my whatever it was I was going to do, cleaning, and I forgot to put that little metal thing in that lets the water go through but doesn't allow things to go through down to the grinder gizmo. And I'm there washing and I drop it and it drops down inside. And so now the field has transformed. So now I have to use something else. Does that make sense? But my service doesn't stop. It's not like, okay, that's it, I'm done. And then you walk off. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, you're sitting there on the couch, you know, you don't want to miss your program. You pick up the little pamphlets that's there that, you know, has been dropped off a long time before and you forgot about, you know, where is that, get it out, call up the number. But, you know, whatever it is, you know, the Nino's, it doesn't function anymore. So therefore, and then you get out the pamphlet for the Chinese place. Right? So the service will go on, but you just train because of the transformation of the environment, right?
This is like a symptom of maturity, stability.
Yes, that's the thing. That's why that's the point. Nishtha means it's stable because you have enough knowledge and enough purity. You know, so because the point is the mind, and when we say accepting and rejecting, so accepts devotional service. So whatever you accept means you're determined. So the mind is what establishes determination. If you're not determined, that means the mind is weak.
Yes.
Right? But if the mind is fixed, then you're determined. You've accepted it, you do it. So if I've accepted it and I'm going to do it, then as the situation changes, I find other ways to get it done. So I either have more experience, so I know how to adjust it. I have more understanding of the principle. I can make adjustment. Right, I have more experience or more maturity in dealing with the emotional responses, and so whatever, all that combined together, and I get the so I'm able to be more stable. So yes, it is mature. Yes.
When we say things practical or whatever, isn't always symptom of our lacking in spontaneity or taste?
No, because we spontaneously have chosen practical over something else that we possibly could have done.
No, but that's saving in service.
Right.
If you know your conditioning, you know what's practical and what's not for you.
Right.
So it's not on the spontaneous level for sure.
No. Spontaneous isn't defined on whether you're doing it according to rules or not. Spontaneous is whether you are inspired to do it.
Inspired
to do it? Yeah, so one can be spontaneous, though one is doing exactly the same thing every day.
My point is about unadulterated devotional service.
Unadulterated.
Yes. Yeah, not about this, but about...
So unadulterated, so you want to know if there's... So if it's unadulterated, does that mean it's just about kids? Like that, so, you know. Yeah.
I want to take it that
far. When adulterated, childerated, it is M-childerated, you know, or in-childerated.
No, I'm just saying that.
So it's empowered with children's-ness rather than it's got, how you say, adultness in it, or it's lacking. Oh, it's lacking adultness, right?
Not exactly.
No. Okay.
That's not the angle.
And that's not the angle. Okay.
Some people.
So you just want to know if your kid's ahead of you or not. So, you know. Okay. Okay.
What I'm saying is that when you they do get inspired more easily, let's say, and they can go with the flow and do whatever they do. Get inspired, that's what it says. No, but inspired
doesn't necessarily mean going with the flow means that's what's practical. No, to get it done. Like, let's say you want to go into the house. You go up to the front door. The door's locked. You don't have the keys. So, now, would it be practical to to keep trying at the door. So you go with the flow and go around to the back door. Right? So going, see, there's going with the flow, which is whimsical, and there's going with the flow, which is practical. So going with the flow that's practical, that you could say is a mature form of being able to function within practical. Right? Less mature is that if it's not the way you know it. Just like someone can't cook very good, they have to follow the recipe. That's practical. Someone who knows cooking very well, they never follow the recipe. Right? That's practical.
Those who don't know and don't follow the recipe.
That's called whimsical. So nowadays they're called going with the flow. Yeah. So whimsical is taken as a spontaneous thing, but that's the mode of ignorance. Where spontaneous being an elevated quality, whimsical is not that.
If we take another example, you have your service to do, and there is something going on, and people say, you know, you should attend that, and it goes. It doesn't fit.
Yeah, but then you have your service. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
But that's not whimsical. It's not inspirational.
But why is it means to give up your service and go do something else? Why would that be inspirational?
Kirtan is going on. Something.
That's there, but your service has to be done. When your service is done, then you can go join the kirtan. And if they were inspired enough, it might still be going when you finish your service.
Hmm.
So, do I have to go to the kirtan, or can I just use the excuse of my service to get out of it? Yeah, you can use the excuse of your service. But when your service is over and the kirtan's still going, then now that's when the question is.
You have to wake up early.
That's there, but then you'll be the only one awake. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity to leave Mangalarti because you'll probably be the only one there because everyone else stayed up. And was, but there is also the thing is they stayed up until 1 in the morning. They were so inspired, they will be there for Mangalarti also. Wow. Like that. Huh? You try it once, see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then don't. Stay, you know, go for half an hour, go for an hour. Just walk by and appreciate it. Nod your head to a few people. Yeah, great. You know, something. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkaramrichi Mala, chapter 14, analysis of unfavorable conditions for bhakti. Bhakti pratikulya vichar, which is within the Abhideya section. Right. So there's going to be what's against, what's for, and what was the other one? Just what is the general rule? Kapila to Devahuti. Okay. 3:29:14. By attaining the highest platform of devotional service, as I have explained, one can overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and be situated in the transcendental stage, as is the Lord. Right? So, being under the modes of nature is unfavorable. Right? Being freed from the modes, that is favorable. Right? So that's the whole thing, is being under the mode, so mixed devotional service is unfavorable. But it's more favorable than just being under the modes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So sometimes they say, oh, that's mixed devotional, so it's useless. It's, whoever said it's useless? It's not pure devotional service, but it's more useful than the material. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the following verse to Bhagavad Arkaramrichi Mala, chapter 17, analysis of the goal of devotional service. Payojana Vichara, which is within the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. 3:29:13, Kapila Muni to Devahuti. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, Sarupya, or Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? It's also an important verse, so that means that Prabhupada quotes this part. Right? So this point is that the goal is not that. One may get that as a side thing, But it's not the goal. So devotional service, its goal is never liberation. Right? Like that. Okay. Okay, so then... Okay, so in this section, then we have chapter 30, description of Lord Kapiladeva of adverse fruit of activities. 31, Lord Kapila's instructions on the movements of the living entities. 32, entanglement and fruit of activities. And 33, the activities of Kapila. So I think these three chapters are some of the famous ones where, depending upon the brahmachari, start smiling and the grihasthas get very uncomfortable, especially if a brahmachari is giving the class. Right. A few chapters like that. Chapter 33, description by Lord Kapila of adverse fruit of activities. Pratigya. Family life is hellish without relationship with Krishna. Very straightforward, succinct, to the point. Right? Yeah. The pratigya is extracted from the purport of verse 3. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.84.13, the acceptance of the body as oneself, the acceptance of others as kinsmen in relation to the body, and the acceptance of the land of one's birth as worshipable are declared to be the products of an animal civilization. When, however, one's enlightenment in Krishna consciousness... Whenever one is enlightened in Krishna consciousness, he can use these for the service of the Lord. That is a very suitable proposition. Everything has a relationship with Krishna. When all economic development and material advancement are utilized to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness, a new phase of progressive life arises, right? So then life becomes progressive. Right? It's not, you could say, the natural perfectional position, because that will only be found in the spiritual world. But in principle, it's progressive. Why? Because whatever facility you have, you're using in the Lord's service. In the spiritual world, then your facility is designed according to what is your nature of service. But it's the same principle. You're engaging whatever you have in Krishna's service. So if you come to that platform, then it becomes progressive. Why progressive? Because there's still material desire. That's where you're engaging. And then it becomes better, less and less material, more and more spiritual. So it's uplifting. Right? That's the principle. Right? So this is basically what's pointed out, is that material life, if it's not connected to Krishna, is useless. And if it's connected to Krishna, then becomes valuable. Right? So now we'll just go, yeah, I understand that, but now Kapila Muni will go through various details just to make sure we are understanding, because otherwise we'll think, I do this for Krishna. What about all the other things you don't do for Krishna? So it's just pointing those things out so we become aware of what it is we're not doing. Right? Adhyaya Prakashika. Lord Kapiladeva has described to his mother in five chapters, 25 to 29, bhakti mixed with gunas, pure bhakti as well as jnana and astanga yoga in sattva guna. In three chapters, 30 to 32, the Lord now shows one after another the results arising from all varieties of actions devoid of bhakti in tamas, rajas, and sattva. Right? Because even in material life, you have to distinguish what's in goodness, what's in passion, what's in ignorance. Because ignorance, you're really not going to get anywhere, even materially. Passion, you will, but it'll have bad endings. Right? And then, what do you call it? Mode of goodness, then that may be difficult, but the ending will be better. Right? Just on the material platform. Right? Because that, then you can see, is that in goodness, that's the better one. Since you have to engage material in the Lord's service, why not engage the best of material, which means in the mode of goodness? Somebody said, why do we have to function in goodness? We just engage our nature. Yes, that's what we do. But if we had the choice, let us say we went into a store, and it had a range of items, right? From very simple items up to very, very expensive and sophisticated items. And we were buying stuff for the deities. Which would you choose? If you didn't have a budget, which would you choose? The expensive stuff, the nice stuff, the good stuff, the quality stuff. Right? So that's in the material world, that's the mode of goodness. So all the argumentation about, oh, goodness is not important, or this, that, we do. The point is this, no, that's the better one. But to say until you're in goodness you can't do devotional service, that's also wrong. Because it's still material. It's just better material. I can still cook with the cheaper ingredients. But since it's for Krishna, I would want to use the better ingredients. Right? That's generally the case, right? It means ordinary ingredients you use for yourself. You save the special ingredients for generally for those who are special. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the way it works. So it's personal. So using the mode of goodness in the Lord's service is actually because of the personal conception, not because of the mechanical. If we look at it from the mechanics, then you get the smartas and the sahajas. Right? One that cares, only it's about that and the other doesn't. But the devotee, he uses according to what's there. Right? If you have all goodness, why you wouldn't use all goodness? Right? If your whole kitchen is just ideal things, wouldn't that be better? Right? But if not, half ideal, half not is better than, you know, nothing's ideal. Right? I saw this one thing. They have these mixing bowls. I don't know why they call them bowls. But whatever, they're made out of rubber. So somebody can put things inside of them. And they'll kind of hold, but you can't really do the regular things with them. But I don't know why they're popular. Maybe because they take up no space. You can take five bowls and stuff it in your drawer instead of taking us. I'm not sure why. Like that. But it's really strange. You have this thing that you can't really pick. You have to be so careful in how you deal, and if you deal wrong, it can spill. But if you deal right, it works fine. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is you can come up with all kinds of weird stuff, and it works. But the traditional stuff works so much better. So that's the whole idea. Is the mode of goodness works so much better than passion and ignorance. You can use them if that's all you have. But you'd want to use the standard stuff because that has that. But then there's other aspects to it. It takes up space. That means then you need a bigger house. That means you have to be more pious. You have to have more money. Right? You have to value your kitchen rather than turning your kitchen into a wardrobe. Right? I heard that's the modern thing. Like in Hong Kong, they just turn the kitchen into a wardrobe. That's more prestigious. Because then everybody just goes and eats in restaurants. Like that. Because there's limited space, so something's got to go, and everybody likes the wardrobe thing, you know, so therefore you turn the kitchen into a wardrobe.
That's why it's a mini restaurant.
Yeah, that's why there's so many restaurants. Yeah. Okay. In the 30th chapter, Kapila Muni explains the pains in youth, old age, death, and hell of persons agitated by attachment to wife and sons. Right? So it kind of seems he covers everything, because you can say, okay, you know, in youth, you've got old age, death, you know, the whole thing. Right? You have old age, you have death, okay? So then you think, yeah, but what about in between? That's good. And then he says, and the hell of persons agitated by attachment to wife and sons. Right? So that's in between. So he's pointing out that unless it's connected, it's a problem. Okay, so we'll stop here and then continue in the evening, right?
This is the conclusion of the third canto.
Yes, basically. That's the whole point. That's the whole thing. You can just say, means material existence is hellish without relationship to Krishna. It means anything, even your jnani, it's still hellish. But within that, family life is more hellish because, you know, you have more things to harass you. Right? The Mayavadi has less things to harass him. It's still big, but he's used to less things, so those less things bother him just as much. But it's still easier to deal with. Well, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Sarva Vedā Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitāi Gaura.